For just a few minutes, we want to look at the 11th chapter of the book of John tonight. I'm going to read the first few verses and try to get through the chapter. John's gospel, as I've told you before, gives us some wonderful lessons. And Jesus teaches us so many things if we'll read carefully through John's Gospels. We call them miracles. John calls them lessons. And from the very beginning, we see some very beautiful lessons. But starting with chapter 11, we really get some special teachings. And the reason they're special, this is the beginning of the end for Jesus' life on earth. He's reconciled the fact that he came to die on the cross, and he knows that the cross is very near. And we see some of the things that he's teaching us from here on through the end of the book. They're very, very heartfelt teachings. And you know, when a person knows that they're facing the end of their life, they're serious about things. Now, Jesus' teachings was serious all through. But now he has reconciled the fact that he has set his face towards the cross, and he knows it's just going to be a little while before he faces the cross. And we need to listen carefully to what he's telling us. In chapter 11 of the book of John, beginning with the first verse, we read, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" Father, as we come to you once again, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds to understanding, that we will be attentive to what you tell us in your word. Help us to realize how much you love us. Help us to realize your great compassion. Help us to realize your power and the strength that you've given each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. As I said, these lessons, especially this one tonight, is towards the closing days of the life of Jesus, and as we look at this lesson, we see that it grows out of a very deep relationship between Jesus and some very special friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. These friends lived in Bethany. If you were standing in Jerusalem, looking east towards the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from there is where the little village of Bethany is. It's a beautiful country. We've had the privilege of being there and seeing this. This was a very special place for Jesus. He had some very dear friends in Mary and Martha and Lazarus. According to the Bible, he spent a lot of time in Bethany. A lot of times when he was in the area of Jerusalem, he would spend the night or some days in the house of these three siblings that he loved so very much. And in the final days of Jesus' life, things got pretty hot for him as he was in Jerusalem, and he would be visiting with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Would spend a lot of times in the temple also, and earlier in the book of John, we're told that as he was walking around the temple there near the area of Solomon's porch in chapter 10, that the people that were against him got so hostile and wanted to kill him so badly that he decided to leave that area. And he went down just a few miles down to the city of Jericho. And so while he was in Jericho, he gets a message that Lazarus is sick. Now, as a young pastor, I struggled with these verses. It just didn't make sense to me what the scripture says. It says that when he heard he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now, ministers, and I know in my own experience, a lot of times I'd get a phone call or a message in some way saying, we just put my mother in the hospital, or my dad just had to go to the hospital, or my children are sick, and I've had to take them to the hospital. Get here just as soon as you can. And they expected me to be there just as quick as I could get there. And I always tried to do that. Now, they knew that me being at the hospital wasn't going to make their child or their parent any more well than the doctors could do. And that wasn't what they wanted me there for. They wanted God's presence there. And somehow they link, and we do that today, and you do too. When you get sick or have an emergency, I hope you do anyhow, you call the preacher. You want him there. I've always said if a Baptist goes to jail or goes to the hospital, he wants the preacher there. They keep us pretty busy at both places sometimes. I remember we had a child with Down syndrome in one of my churches. And he was a teenage boy and just sweet as he could be, but he had to have surgery one time. And he asked me if I'd be at the hospital while he had surgery. I said, well, of course I would. And so I went that morning, but he got there first, and his family was all there with him. And his family said that he was real agitated and real nervous, and they just couldn't get him settled down at all. And I finally got there and walked into the room, and just a peace came over him. And he grabbed my hand, and he wouldn't let go of my hand. He didn't want his mama there. He didn't care if his daddy was there or his brothers and sisters. He wanted me to be right there with them. And they came in a few minutes to get him to take him to the surgery. And he said, now, preacher, you're going to stay, aren't you? And I said, yes. And he smiled real big, and he was just as calm as he could be. And his family couldn't figure out what was going on with him, how he calmed down so much when I got there. Well, a few days later, after he woke up from surgery and got well, his mama asked him about that. And he said, well, the preacher knows God. And I knew if the preacher was here, then God would be here. It wasn't me being there. He just wanted God. And that's who we want when we get sick, when we are not sure what our future is going to be. We want God. We want to know that God is there with us. Here, this family gave that same sentiment. They sent word, Jesus, your friend, the one that you love, is sick. And Jesus stayed in the same place where he was for 2 days. And I've often wondered about that. But I realize that Jesus, being God, sees the whole picture. He doesn't just see the circumstances that's right there. He wants God's will to be done, and that's what happened. A lot of times people think that because God doesn't answer our prayers on our timetable, that he's not answering prayers. We want what we want right now. We want God to speak to us right now. When we're scared, we want that peace to come right now. When we have an illness or one of our family members has an illness, we want God to do something right now. When there's a crisis in our life, we're saying, God, now is when we need you. But God sees the whole picture. And God knows what's best for us. God doesn't always come on our timetable. He may not come early, but God never shows up late, because God knows the whole picture. And that's one of the hardest lessons that we'll ever come to comprehend. God's schedule is different from your schedule and my schedule. We think we know what we want. We think we know what we need. But God knows what we need. His schedule is different from ours. Jesus deliberately waited 2 days before going to Bethany. He wanted there to be no question whatsoever about the miracle that was going to take place. Whatever else happened, God was going to be glorified. When he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. And right before that, he told his disciples, he said, "Now this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through that." You know, it's interesting to note that Mary and Martha sent word when their brother was sick to Jesus and said, "Jesus, come quickly." While he was well, while everything was going seemingly okay, we don't see any sign that they invited Jesus to come. We don't see any sign that they sent word, "Jesus, we'd like for you to be in our home." It was when this crisis took place that they cried out to Jesus. And isn't that so much like us also? We go through life and everything is well and everything's going fine. And we find ourselves that we're not thinking a whole lot about Jesus. We're not thinking a whole lot about God. But when trouble comes to our life, we call out quickly and say, "Jesus, be here now. You know, don't wait. Come right now." But Jesus works in a different way, on a different timetable, and we need to realize that. Just because he doesn't answer our prayer on our time doesn't mean that he's not answering our prayer. Our waiting in faith is not going to go unrewarded. Jesus may not respond in the manner that I want him to, but he does answer prayers. He went at the exact moment when his visit would be the most meaningful to the families. You know, what they don't realize, they were upset because Jesus didn't come, but they got a greater blessing by him waiting than they would have if he had come at that moment. If he had come as soon as they called and brought healing to Lazarus, they'd been happy about it, but they wouldn't have been amazed. But they didn't see somebody that was healed from a sickness. They saw somebody that was dead that was brought back to life. A greater miracle than they ever expected took place that they would have missed if Jesus had done what they wanted him to do. So the next time you're praying and you're feeling like your prayers aren't getting to God, realize that we want God's will to be done, or at least we ought to. And God, like I say, he may not come early, but he's never going to be late. That's the first lesson that Jesus teaches us here, is that we need to trust God and his timetable. The next lesson that we learn from this is that Jesus feels our very deepest emotions. Over in verse 33, it says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he says, 'Where have you laid him?' And then they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And it says, Jesus wept. Now, he gets to the home. Well, he doesn't really get to the home. He gets close to the home, and Martha hears that he's coming, and she goes out to meet him. And then later on, she goes back and tells Mary that the master is here, and she runs out to see him, and they both pour their hearts out to him and say, "Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus felt their passion. He felt their sadness. He felt their sorrow, and I think that was one reason that he wept. And the other reason that he wept, this probably pointed him to his own death also. He knew that his death was only just days away, And remember, now while Jesus is all God, he's all man also. If you knew a week from now or 2 weeks from now, you were going to be horrendously killed in the most cruel way, in the most painful way that you can think of, your emotions would be stirred too. But Jesus, not only his heart was stirred because of his own emotions, but his love for Mary and Martha showed up too, as we see him weeping over this dear family. So Jesus understands us. We might be at a point in life where we think nobody knows what we're going through. Nobody knows the pain that I'm feeling. Nobody knows the mental anguish that I have. Nobody knows the fear that's in my heart. Maybe we're facing the death of a loved one, or maybe the doctor tells us that that there's nothing they can do. And we feel like, well, we're the only ones that's ever felt like this. But Jesus knows. We've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We ought to be thankful for that, and we ought to realize that God feels our very deepest needs, and he reaches out to help us. We also learn that Jesus never does for us what we can do ourselves. Christians can be mighty lazy. We can pray really their silly prayers. We can ask God for things that God has already given us. And yet we ask God to do something that he's already done for us if we would just apply the gifts and the talents that he's given us. I heard he was a very famous evangelist at the time, and he was a faith healer. And he says, you know, I believe in healing faith. But he says, when I get a headache, I don't go to the Lord in prayer. I take aspirin. He says, God has given me that sense. He's given me enough sense to know that there's a remedy for what I need. He wasn't taking away faith in God. He wasn't saying that my prayer is not important enough to pray to God. But he's saying, God has already answered that prayer. He's given me a mind to know what to do, and he's given the relief that's available for me. But we get lazy. We want God to do everything without us doing anything. God doesn't make us helpless, and he didn't make Mary and Martha helpless. There were three things that needed to be done during this episode. When they got to the grave, Jesus says, roll the stone away. Now, Mary and Martha have been praying for Jesus to come, and even when they got there, Martha said, I know that if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died, and even now, I know that whatever you do, you could make things right, but there were things that need to be done. So he says, show me where they laid him. Where is he? And so they took him to the grave, and he says, roll the stone away. He didn't roll the stone away. That was something that they could do. He said, open the grave up. The stone had to be rolled away. Life had to be restored to Lazarus. And he had to be released from his grave clothes. Jesus did what he needed to do. And he teaches us that the people needed to do what they could do. He says, roll the stone away first of all. And then he called forth to Lazarus. He said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I heard about an African-American preacher who could really preach. And somebody said, well, why did Jesus shout for Lazarus to come out? He said, well, if he'd have just said, come out, he said, everybody that ever died would have come out of that grave. He was wanting Lazarus. He had to speak to Lazarus himself. And so he calls for him to come out. And when he came out, he was still bound in grave clothes. He was still wrapped up in that funeral shroud, and his hands were tied. And I don't know how many dead people you've been around, but I've been around a lot of funeral homes in my life, and some strange things happen to dead bodies. Sometimes there's movement there. I don't understand it, and I don't know exactly how it's done, but I know that even a corpse can move at times. And sometimes they bind them. And so this is what happened in Lazarus' case. He was bound in grave clothes, and so he comes out. Jesus does what he needs to do, and then somebody needs to take the shroud off of him. And so they do, and he's restored to life once again. This illustration is over and over again spoken to in the Bible. The disciples, you know, fished all night and couldn't find any fish. And Jesus said, just drop your nets over here. Jesus didn't go fill up the nets. He just told them what they needed to do. He didn't do it for them. They had to do it. When the servants were told to fill the water pots with water and then to take those water pots to the steward of the wedding, and it was turned into wine. Jesus didn't carry the pots there. He did what he had to do, and the people did what they needed to do. The lesson here is we need to obey the instructions of Christ. Do what we can do, and then experience the joy of his help. Jesus gives us what we need the most, and what we need the most is Jesus himself. That's what these sisters needed. They needed Jesus there. They needed his presence, and he went there. He didn't have to go to Bethany to bring healing to Lazarus. He could have spoke there in Jericho and said, Lazarus, come forth from the grave. He did that on other occasions. He didn't have to be there. But he wanted to be there with these sisters, and he wanted to show them his love for them. When we listen to Jesus, we experience his joy. And Jesus still gives himself to those that will receive him tonight. Jesus is waiting to bless us. Through the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus, we learn four valuable lessons. He never comes too soon. And he never comes too late. We learn that he feels our very deepest sorrows. When we're hurting, he knows that hurt and he feels that. He does what we cannot do. And we need to trust that and realize that he'll do that. But we need to do what he's given us the ability to do. And finally, he gives us the most important thing. He gives us himself. There's a lot of prayers that we pray that we're sincere in our prayers, but we're misguided in the way that we pray. Let's trust God. Let's believe that he knows our needs and that he loves us enough to meet those needs. Let's look at ourselves and say, has God given me the ability to do this myself? Is there something I need to do? And help us to realize that when we call out to God, he's got an attentive ear. He listens to us. He wants to hear our voice. And he's going to be there for us, and he's going to give us what we need. But let's trust him. Let's look at our lives and realize how many times he's been with us and what he's been able to allow us to do, and help us to be willing to do our part. And then trust him for the results. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you've blessed us in so many ways. You give us the opportunity to come to you at any time, knowing that no matter how busy this world might be, that you've got time to hear our prayers. And Father, you teach us and you have shown us in life that you love us enough that you want to hear our prayers. You want us to come to you. But Father, help us to trust you. Help us to realize that when you saved us, that your Holy Spirit came to live in us. And Father, help us to realize that you have given us gifts and talents, and help us to be willing to use those talents to do the things that need to be done. Father, help us to trust you and to pray for you in faith. Help us to realize that you know our needs even before we make our needs known to you. Help us to realize that you're here with us at all times. We don't have to plead for your presence because your presence is with us. So But help us to trust you. Help us to know that you care. Help us to know that you want to bless us. Help us to know that you've got the power to answer all of our prayers in accordance to your will. And help us to realize that when you answer in accordance to your will, that's the best thing that can happen in our life. We don't always understand the answers. We don't always get what we ask for, but we get what we need, because that's the only thing that you do, Lord, is to give us and to meet our needs. Father, increase our faith. Help us to trust you. And thank you for the many times that you've heard our prayers and you've given us the answer in accordance to your will. We make our prayer, we give our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.